from PRX.
Friends beyond binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for the podcaster that's here to tuck you in, to try to make things comfortable, to get things cozy, but also, you know, if you need me at a mumble or below, just like a TV going through the walls at nighttime, you're listening in to somebody in another room in that calm place where you're listening in. It's just a good mumble and a hum. I'm as sensible as a mumble and a hum, and mumble and hum. Those would be my, you know, my sidekicks, because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And if your hand hits the fridge tomorrow, if you could remember, this is how we're able to be here for you for free twice a week. Thanks. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and I actually need you to listen to this message. If you're a regular listener, Sleep With Me. If you're new, don't worry about it. But we've got some big decisions with the show on the horizon, so I really, really need your help. If you are a regular listener to Sleep With Me, and it has changed how you sleep, you rely on the show, you like the show, it does something for you, or you feel good about the podcast, you like it, or you count on it, I really got to ask you to take action. So if Sleep With Me means something to you, or you like it, if you can afford to support the show directly, or you're willing to consider up giving up one takeout lunch a month to support Sleep With Me, try out a trial of Sleep With Me Plus and test out Sleep With Me Plus over the 7-day trial and just see, like, see what you think. But I think you'll find you'll be blown away, because there's so many different ways to listen to Sleep With Me and stuff like that. So if you think you can afford to support the show, please do that at Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And if it doesn't make a difference to you, like it's like I can move on to something else if you stop making the show, or you decide to put out way less episodes, or you change what you're doing, I totally am fine with that. That's fine. But if Sleep With Me really does make a difference for you, I mean, I love making the show. I don't like being direct, because I usually get way more not nice emails when I'm direct about stuff. But I don't want to put out a message like 3 months from now and be like, you know what, we're changing things up, and we've made some hard decisions. I want you to be a part of this decision-making process, because it's really like the other time Sleep With Me's been in this place. It's just taken being direct and saying, hey, if you care about the show, I need you to think about doing something about it. So think about it. It'll be cool. Like, I trust that there's enough of you out there that get so much out of the show, because I've heard from you before. So yeah, check out sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, or take one of those other actions. And what do you say we get on with the show? All right, everybody, it is time to thank the listeners who supported the podcast so we could come out free twice a week. It's the Sleepy Supporter Zone. It's the one part of the podcast I need you here so that we could come out free, that it can be optional to pay for the show. And I want to thank Tamara and Cynthia, who both supported Sleep Phones. And while Sleep Phones isn't a sponsor, the money from Sleep Phones is going to our building hygiene kits for the Midnight Mission. If you want to join in on that for free, get free streams of the live show, you could sign up at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors, and you could join Tamara and Cynthia. You could support Sleep Phones, sleepwithmepodcast.com/sleepphones. Thank you so much. The second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is you getting the support you need right now. If you're having an extra tough time, there's links to resources, including international resources you can connect with right now in the show notes. It's about being a part of positive change, being a part of communities with our actions, is saying Black Lives Matter, saying Stop AAPI Hate, saying Support Ukraine. So there's links to resources where you can learn more and take action in the show notes. And one of the actions we're taking as a community around the show, it's been so great interacting with listeners like Judy, Christiana, Cornelia, Stacy, who are all helping us build hygiene kits for people experiencing homelessness. You could join in for free, sleepwithmepodcast.com/midnightmission. Join us in our community effort to support other people. And Mystery Bart, a lot of people help out on the show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Posterson,
who sounds like a near fall,
wrote the theme song,
edits episodes too.
Carl W. the Legend,
also edits episodes.
Ashley, Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer,
Ronner, Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
you see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators. You can support Dear Scooter on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance. Rusty Biscuit, Lois, Anna like banana. Leah does the transcripts.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. What do you say we slow it down and get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do the bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. It could be thoughts, things on your mind that you're thinking about, past, present, future, thinking stuff, or just stuff running in there. Good old auto thoughts, those automatic thoughts. So how we try to love them. So auto thoughts. That's a way to, at least they feel a little bit less powerful. They feel more automatic. Automated thinking. Whoever invented it, please undo it. So thoughts, feelings, anything coming up for you emotionally, it might be connected to those thoughts, or it could be the feelings that are just there. It could be physical sensations. It could be changes in time or temperature or routine. Whatever it is that's keeping you awake, I'd like to take your mind off of it and keep you company to distract you so that you could fall asleep. And the way I propose to do it, or what I'm going to attempt to do, particularly if you're new, is try to create a safe place. And the safe place is transferable. This is, if this safe place was a ticket, it wouldn't follow any of the rules of tickets. It's transferable, it's portable, transferable. You could use it at a, you don't even need to have it. You see, because I'm constantly one of those people patting my, anytime I got to go anywhere where you need something, I'm looking, I say, oh boy, how many pockets do I have? Because one's not enough and one, you know, one's too many, because I say, wait a second, do I have that? Was it I needed again? I'm sorry. Was it a piece of paper? It could be crumbled or folded somewhere. Oh, it's a digital form? Oh boy, I don't know. Even those ones, you see, how did I, like, not kidding, I say, I'm positive I have that in triplicate or in three different places on my phone and can't find anything. Sir, you're directly plugged into the router. Yeah, still can't get any service on here. Don't know what's happening. My wheels are spinning. So this safe place, though, is unlike those things. It's always there. And I'm always going. I'm always going nowhere for your benefit. And the way I do that beyond that is I send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. Oh, so creaky are my tones. With just a touch of dulcet in there, which is like kind of sweet. You say, you're creaky, but you're not bad. That's what creaky, dulcet tones mean. You say, well, wouldn't say, I'm not going to hire you to do a voiceover for my book. You probably would play a character that would be rock-like. I'm picturing a character in any, like, if, yeah, you could be a character, but it would be one, maybe like not Treebeard, but, you know, Treebeard's old uncle. Or like in those Frozen movies, you could be one of those rock people, but maybe the grouchy one. But it's not bad. Like, we'll still have you. And I'd say, great. Sounds good. Is this in my imagination? You're one of the casting agents that lives in my mind? Well, I'm glad I'm glad I've typecast myself into, at least I can play two different types. Old gnarled tree. Could that be my old gnarled tree? I wouldn't mind. I guess I would be more, could Treebeard's older uncle, Treebeard is a character from a film wise tree being, very friendly. Apparently has an older uncle, though, that I'll be playing in an imaginary film that may never come out. Here's the thing, though. I don't want to, like, get myself uncast from this imaginary movie, but I would probably, knowing what I know about myself, I would be the one. I don't think I'd be the wise. Could I be wizened? Is it possible to be wizened without being wise? It is. Okay, good. Because I would be more like asking Treebeard for advice. Like, is it possible to be wizened and without anything? Is it possible for me to have sage on me, like growing at me or whatever, but not to have anything sage? You know, that I'm not, I can't be associated, I can be associated with sage, but sage has contacted me. Don't let us be associated with you. And I'd say, of course, there's nothing sage about me. I mean, unless I have sage on me. Okay, where was I, though? Oh, it's going to set creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. You've kind of seen a couple of those already, which means I'm going to go off topic. I'm going to get mixed up. I'm going to talk about, that's where the podcast never gets started and it's always going. But if you're new, let me give you some information, because you probably arrived at this podcast doubtful or skeptical, or like, what is this? My Treebeard, right? Thanks, Treebeard, for recommending the podcast, by the way. Treebeard did not. That was somebody else's beard. Okay, well, maybe the beard from that great show, that program, the great program. No, not that beard either. Okay, well, just a beard. Wait, so there's a sentient beard? Because I don't mean to get distracted. But, you know, you got Treebeard, you got Beard from Ted Lasso. I'm sure there's other beards out there. There's probably some beards. Peter Beardsley, that came up in a Great British Bake Off episode. I didn't look up who it was, but it's on my list of things to look up one day. Oh, I'm introducing a podcast. Oh, so if you're doubtful or skeptical or unsure, that's a really natural way to arrive at this show. Because if you had trouble sleeping, a lot of people give out advice, right, about sleep or tell you how to do it the right way. And that doesn't necessarily help, but it also, it's tough to find something that works. I know, because I've been there. And this show, believe it or not, even though I make it and it's open to anybody, it doesn't work for everybody. But even worse than that for me, not for you, is that it doesn't even work for most people it works for. It doesn't work on the first or second or third try. It takes some getting used to naturally for a show that's always going and never going anywhere to figure. You see, I think I get what you mean, but I don't until I see it in action, which I guess is already, we're getting into that ironic territory, because there's your action is, it's not inaction, it's an action. I just accidentally made a pun in there. It's action and inaction. Action and action. The Sleep With Me podcast. Put that as one word. I'll probably misspell it too. Action and action. Maybe that's what that story, what I said in the intro, maybe that's what it'll be about. Action and action. That sounds like a movie I would might see. Oh, but if you're a new listener, so... Okay, other important things to know. This podcast doesn't work for everybody. Give it a few tries, see how it goes. It's a podcast you don't really listen to. It's almost like listening to something that's going on in the background. You can listen, but if you start out just kind of barely listening, like softly, like I'm just out of focus, that might help versus waiting for stuff to get started or waiting for me to get to the story or the sleepy stuff. We're in the sleepy stuff a little bit. You know, it's been a little while since I said this, but if you've been looking for a podcast with morass, or morass, I got you covered. I want more than one department, cause we're deep in to the, I'm already off topic. Well, I've been off topic multiple times. So where was I? I'm not joking either. Give it a few tries, see how it goes. Just barely listen. This podcast also doesn't put you to sleep. It keeps you company while you drift off. And if you can't sleep, I'm here for over an hour to keep you company. So, because my job is not so much to count down from 10 and help you relax, is to be your friend, to keep you company, to make things a little bit less lonely in the deep dark night, to be your boyfriend, your boy bae, your boy sib, your boy cuz, your boy bestie, your boy bruh. That's what my job is, your boyfriend. So I'm here to keep you company so that you could fall asleep. And if you can't sleep, you say, well, at least I got Scoots to listen to. He's rambling about nothing. Good old mumble and hum. That was one of the unreleased U2 albums, maybe. Because, I mean, definitely rattle and hum is not good for bedtime. Mumble and hum, maybe. Oh, the other things to note, the reason I make this show, one is you. You deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve a safe place where you could get some rest. And I hope the show can provide it for you. But if it doesn't, I hope you find what you need, like to be a part of your bedtime routine, or find something small, whether it's a book or activity or another sleep podcast, sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou. It's got a bunch of them. So that you have the space you need to wind it down. Because if you get the rest you need, your life's going to be more manageable. You could flourish. And that means our world is a better place to live in for everybody. I also make your show because I've been there. Mind racing, tossing, turning, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep, thoughts, feelings, physical sensation, all that stuff, I'm familiar. So that's why I make the show. The other thing that can throw new listeners off and that takes some getting used to is the structure of the show. It's designed in a very specific way, but you can also adjust as you become a regular listener to find what works for you. But naturally, questions come up and people have very strong feelings about them because our show is very different overall, but then the structure is even different and unexpected because you expect a sleep podcast to start putting you to sleep. You know, if I had magic powers or whatever, I could do that. I would do that, but I don't. I mean, I guess I have the power of being mystified. You see, so, I mean, that's what the power I'm putting into use. I mean, I'm laughing because it's true. I say, well, I do have a magic power. I'm always mystified. Not very useful, except in this context. And then it's magical. And really, like I said, the reason I make it is because it's magical, because I know how it feels, and you deserve a good night's sleep. Oh, but the structure of the show. Why is the show structured this way, and what is the structure? Why don't I tell you? We're only 15 minutes into this podcast. Well, the show starts out with a greeting. Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. And that's so you feel seen, welcome. You kind of get a bit of the tone of the show. It's a little bit silly. So you say, oh, okay, I could check this out. Then there's support for the show. And again, it's a little bit early for the support for some people, but that way the show comes out free twice a week, over 400 episodes to choose from. Again, for free, wherever you want to listen to your podcast, whatever app you listen on. So that's just important to me, is like, that's what I like. It helps the most amount of people the most amount of time it can. I don't know if that was actually a full sentence. So that's the greeting. Then there's the support. Then there's support for the communities around the show and listeners. Then there's the intro, which we're already most of the way through. But the intro is a show within a show where I introduce what the podcast is. But it's also the time during the podcast where you could get ready for bed or start winding down. It's kind of the twilight or the transition. So that's another part of the podcast, is that ideally the intro helps ease you into bedtime so that you could get ready for bed, or you could start relaxing and then get in bed, or already be in bed relaxing, and then, like, later fall asleep. So this is the get comfortable time, getting cozy, petting those pets, blowing kisses to the fishes of the world. Even if you don't have a fish, blow some kisses. That could be a new thing. Kisses for the fishes. Besos for pescados, you know? Is that right? I think I just used besos para pescados. Oh, that actually is a nice alliteration. Besos para pescados. I know my pronunciation's not perfect, but let's all blow some kisses to fishes everywhere. Okay, now that that's done, you could also come up with your own bedtime routine or fun thing like that. But that's what the intro does, is it goes on and on and on, which some new listeners find very frustrating. But it serves a purpose that eases you into bedtime. And as you become a regular, you say, oh, I'll just start the show at 20 minutes and then listen to stories. Or, oh, I'll support the show on Patreon and listen to story-only versions. But what you might discover, which is like what a lot of people discover, is that the intro becomes kind of, it's because it's familiar every time, but it's different every time. I don't know. A lot of listeners get, this is the part where you get to know my, where you get to know the, you know, where this is where I bring the morass for sure. So that's the intro. Then there's business again, support between the intro and the podcast. Again, just to meet my personal goals, I guess. The show comes out twice a week for free, gets the most people as possible versus just being on one platform or behind a paywall. So that's that. Then there'll be our story. Looks like tonight's story will be something about, what did I say, mumble and hum? So I don't know. I was going to record an intro for something else, but tonight it looks like we're talking about mumble and hum. So that should be, that could be anything. We'll see how that goes. So there's that, and then there's thank yous at the end. So that's why I make the show. Again, if your show does not work for you, you feel strongly, you say, I just don't, you're not my cup of tea, sleepwithmepodcast.com/no thank you. If you're new, sleepwithmepodcast.com/new has like a little bit of description about episodes and stuff. But otherwise, just see how it goes. Get comfortable and we'll see where we go. I'm really glad you're here. I really hope I can help you fall asleep. I work really hard. I earn a nice drive. Thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple of ways I'm able to do this for you for free twice a week. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. All right, everybody. Scoots here. And, you know, this is one of these tales that haven't told, you know, tales untold, tales never told. And the I guess the subtext, is this subtext? My daughter is learning about subtext in school. And I said, can you explain it to me again? And she turned away and changed the subject. I don't know, is that subtext? But why did I ask what was subtext? Oh, I said that when I say tales, untold tales, the subtext in my brain, or it's a subtweet, I think, or something that says there's a reason they're untold. And this all takes place. These are the tales I get to hear when I'm sitting outside. This time I decided to sit on one of the, like, there's a broken carousel outside of a Kmart, or what once was a Kmart. This is when I heard the tale, when it was still a Kmart. One of my great regrets was not going in and having lunch at the K Cafe or the cafeteria with a K. But I got to listen to the pigeons tell another tale about stuff. This one was called Mumble and Hum. And it was a tale about mumble and hum. And also, I guess I got to explain that. This will also be a Carole King episode, though through a new method, which I have to further explain, which is, you know, what it was. So there I was, because I was telling the pigeons. I said, before you tell it, could we have this tale be influenced by Carole King? And they said, the great songstress and activist and leader Carole King? And I said, one in the same, I mean, one in the same, well, not quite one in the same, one and much more than just the same. And that got the pigeon's attention because I said, and I said, what about this? How about this? I tell you the tale of Mumble and Hum through the spiraling tresses of Carole King, you know, like spiritually, like quite the spiritual tresses of spiraling tresses. And I said, you missed your alliteration there. And I said, I never thought I'd say, wow, I feel understood, but to anyone, but particularly, I never thought I'd say this to a pigeon. I thought, you know, I'd only say, don't drive the bus or whatever. Sorry. I guess I thought I'd work. You know, I thought about starting an assertiveness training course. Well, I didn't. I just thought of it now. But what if we, like, is that what Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus is teaching us? Assertiveness? You say, I'm sorry, pigeon. I cannot allow you to drive this bus because you're a pigeon. I know you desire to drive the bus, and I know I always desire to drive the bus. Oh, but, oh, sorry, pigeons. I was explaining Carole King and my connection to Carole King. I also should have a connection to Carole Kane, but this is different. So once upon a time, in an era maybe called the aughts, or maybe it was the tens. I don't know. No, I think it was the tens. Was it the aughts? I'm not sure. But there was something called an iPod, which is now comes kind of built. Well, now you stream stuff, but it used to be all your songs were on your, all the songs you owned. You didn't rent songs back then or pay, you know, a generalized fee to access the songs. You had your music. It was a different era. It was in between. It was an era. It was a short era, actually, but it was part of an earlier era. So you owned your music in some sense. And you would put it, you could put it on a device called an iPod, and it could hold like thousands of songs, maybe, I don't know, maybe 10,000, maybe 1,000, maybe 20, 100,000. I have no idea. And eventually they went from like hard drives, platter hard drives, to solid state hard drives, which were smaller, or they were called, I don't know, is that flash memory? I don't have a lot. My memories are gone in a flash, but so on my hard drive, which was platter hard drive, I had all my songs. Okay? We get that much. And there was an algorithm, like, I believe. Now, some have told me I'm incorrect, but I like to shuffle my music because otherwise I overthink it. Or I stay in my comfort zone, whatever the comfort zone of that particular day happens to be. And so I would shuffle things, and then, like, what I believe, and I developed a belief system based on this, but I believe it to be true, and not just a belief, is that every time you shuffled it or listened to a song outside of the shuffling process, the iPod algorithm would note it and say, okay, let's just say, Starboy didn't exist back then, but it said, well, Scoots has listened to Starboy, whatever, 8,000 times. And he's listened to Sacrifice 4,000 times. Maybe we'll recommend this related track to him. But we'll definitely, if we're going to randomize out of 1,000 songs, we'll definitely play, or whatever, 100 songs, we'll play, like, Starboy would be more likely to be played than Sacrifice. But both would be highly likely to be played within a randomization of 100 songs. But in this case, it wasn't The Weeknd. It was Carole King. Somehow, Carole King, her power of song and joy and engagement with the world was so powerful, it invaded the algorithm within my iPod. And what's a miracle about stuff like this is that then it invaded the algorithm within my heart that keeps my heart locked up, but in some sense. And if at some point I became to accept it so that every fifth song would be a Carole King song, even though, and this is nothing about, this is why it's spiritual or beyond my understanding, if you're more comfortable with that, was that, I intentionally chose to keep repeating these Weeknd songs recently or over the past, whatever, 6 years, and never intentionally chose Carole King. It's like we chose one another through we randomly chose one another. Or someone out there said, beyond my understanding, said, if Carole King's bringing the message, Scoots will eventually get it. And so I became willing to turn the algorithm of my iPod over to Carole King and her powers beyond my understanding. And I've had a lot of adventures since then, hitting randomizing and pressing play. And I've said, well, like a lot of the stories of the show that I've discovered have been through that. And now we move on to a new phase of Carole King has physically invaded. I've let her in even further. And so I have in my lap here, pigeons. This is what I was saying to the pigeons, listeners. Sorry. I have in my lap, what are the, are these 45s? I don't even know. They're the single records. I think those are 45s or they're 33s. I'm not kidding. I'm not even joking and trying to be facetious. And I found, like, occasionally I have an opportunity because there's jukeboxes out there, right? And people, like, so there's, like, you can buy random lots every once in a while of jukebox records for low price because the people take out, all, like, the records that say, oh, like, so you're just getting random records. So I just opened a pack of random records. So our story is in the hands of Carole King. The story. So but without further ado, pigeons and you listening, dear listener, you know, once upon a time, there was a mumble and there was a hum, and they played out in the universe, free-floating, a mumble that's like a hum. You can hear that at the same time, the hum coming from my upper palate, in the interesting that the mumble is coming from my chest and my throat, and they work together. And it was this strain moving through the universe. And believe it or not, it's always there because you can just do make it and say it. And if you ever know somebody needs post-crying, usually, about 15 minutes after somebody cries, this is a good time to introduce them to the back padding version of mumble and hum, or just hum. You could start having them just hum and you pat their back, and then it becomes a sound that's probably not conducive to sleep podcasting. But you know it. And if you haven't experienced it, I'm not kidding. I highly recommend it. Is it just to let them go and you pat their back and it makes a like a syncopated sound, is that might be the way to describe it. And it was one time I had forgotten the power of mumble and hum when I was patting someone's back who had just finished crying because they said they had just said to me, like, it's my party and I'll cry if I want to. And they said, you know, you would have cried too if it happened to you. And I said, okay, they had already cried. So they said it was their party. Then they said they'll cry for what they want to. Then they cried. And I said, okay, I'm here. Go ahead and let it out. Would you prefer to be held or would you prefer to lie next to me or sit across the room as you cry? Okay, I'm here. Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead. Let it out. It's okay. Let it out. It's just let it flow. And then afterwards, and this was one of those ones where it was a party. And so the contrast of it's a party, and then I'll cry if I want to, and then the crying, it ended up with some of the breath catching afterwards and the sniffling. And then normally, you know, say, hey, what if we do some groaning and back patting or humming? They said, okay, this really, really helps now. And usually you can laugh with still some tears in between it. And they said, where did you learn this? And I said, well, once upon a time, there was two friends. And we'll just call them Mumble and Hum. And Mumble had planned this really big party for themselves, a really, really big party. And they had said they invited everyone they knew, everyone in town. And they said, well, what was the party for? And Mumble had, Mumble meant something different back then. It became Mumble. This is how Mumble and Hum came into parlance, according to this story. You know, this is more of a fable. But Mumble was one of those people that didn't communicate the same way as everyone else. And they had felt bad about it. Like they said, well, when I say stuff, it comes, like, it doesn't always, like, or trails off. And they, like, people, a lot of people, they'd say, okay, say it again. And then they, like, this was a world with a lot of active listening, a little bit different than ours. And they'd say, okay, did you say, you know, an elephant that wears pants? Okay, that's good. That's good. That's good. Is that what you said? And then Mumble would say, you know, an elephant wears pants. Uh-huh. And they say, okay, interesting. Like, is that a metaphor, or do you really know an elephant that wears pants? And that's just kind of an example of sometimes Mumble, they understood Mumble, sometimes they didn't. But Mumble was always aware that, Mumble was one of those few people that said, talk to you in a second. Mumbling. And some people would say, you got to speak clearer, or think about what you're going to say and then say it, or please don't mumble. They would, and Mumble would say, this is just like, I don't know, like, is this, and it wasn't easy, right? Mumble would mumble, and then Mumble was finally one day Mumble said, I'm going to stop mumbling. From this day forward, I'm going to stop mumbling. And Mumble had a friend named Hum that would always be there to soothe Mumble and not give Mumble advice. It just Hum would say, like, as Mumble said, really tough. No one understands me. Like, I'm speaking for Mumble, not in Mumble's here. I say, really hard. No one understands me. I don't feel like I quite get this thing, you know, communicating like all these other people, judging your insides from your outsides, outsides from your insides, that whole thing. But Hum would always, mostly just that, And they went back and forth, and Mumble said that, Hum would talk sometimes, but mostly Hum would try to guide. One time Hum said something, said, sometimes I look in the mirror and I say, you're the only one that could make me feel these strong feelings that I don't necessarily like to feel. And now what Hum didn't know is that, Mumble still had to go on a journey. Hum was trying to help Mumble. Mumble still had to go on a journey. But it planted that seed. It said, okay, so you're the only one that can hurt me. And maybe Mumble was just a little too young for this information. Like, Mumble had to live a little bit more. Hum was in a place where Hum could just hum. And knew, I'm just here to hum, and give my experience. Well, that helped me. But Hum wasn't a parent, and Hum wasn't a, like, so maybe there was just a little bit missing, or maybe Hum was so full of comforting hums that Hum was able to just put that out there and know that at some point, Mumble would get it. But this wasn't the time, particularly this part of the story, that Mumble would get it. Because Hum left, you know, they couldn't spend all their time together. So Mumble was alone looking in the mirror and didn't decide to call Hum and run things by Hum or talk to someone else. And, you know, Mumble had kind of got tired of asking other authority figures or even other people Mumble's age for help because they said, well, just stop mumbling. Why don't you get, you know, why don't you just do like, why don't you like Mumble didn't know there was like podcasters that could actually have trouble communicating, and it was okay. Didn't always feel okay, Mumble, but so Mumble thought that Mumble would look in the mirror and instead of sparking that humming comfort at first, it sparked something different, a different strong feeling. A feeling kind of like blame, blame. And Mumble started to look in the mirror and said, well, this is, you know, this is me. This is like F-A-U-L-T kind of thing. You're making me feel this way. You got to change. But Mumble did have like one extra piece was like, okay, well, I have always been, you know, like these adults, I don't like how it feels when people don't validate my mumbling and how I communicate, or they don't just sit there. I like it when Hum sits there and just hums and accepts me. And I know, you know, I don't understand this whole change, or I'm supposed to communicate differently, or you know, pull up my bootstraps or whatever. But I do know this Mumble that I'm seeing in the mirror. So Mumble said, well, maybe there has to be two Mumbles. And Mumble even sang a mumbling song. It reminds me of the song Two Faces Have I. You know, that I don't quite remember the lyrics to it at all. But, you know, Mumble sang that song in the mirror and decided, okay, well, and then realized, okay, one of my faces is Mumble's, and one of my faces is maybe this more, this face I got from all these adults saying, you know, point finger wagging and saying, pull it together, Mumble's, stop mumbling, speak in a clear voice, make eye, you know, pull your shoulders back and lift your head up, belly button in. The whole, you know, and Mumble said, well, that's, I was in a minute, it's mad. And so, you know, like, said, I got these two faces, have I? And I don't know, this face that has, it was wagging me in the mirror and saying that it's my fault. I don't necessarily think, that just makes me sag my shoulders more. And so Mumble got this idea, well, if maybe I can entice that part of me with a party, like a goal, this grand goal, oh, one day I'll never mumble again, and I'll get this together, just like people said, I'll pull every, you know, I'll take total control of my communication, and, you know, no stone will be left unturned until my mumbling is gone. As it was in a minute, but Mumble still mumbled a lot, but Mumble went out and went in search of the world. Like, first said, okay, where are the best addiction coaches? Who these adults that were disempowering me? Went back to them and said, well, who's that? And they said, okay. But the ones, they were still trying to actively communicate in this world, but still saying, you know, it wasn't easy. Remember, Mumble's just a kid-ish, at least emotionally. That's why I identify with Mumble so much. But Mumble said, where's the best, you know, who do you recommend if you want me change my talking and stuff like, and they said, well, just, you know, a lot of people didn't have solid solutions. So Mumble would just move on and say, well, maybe you weren't like at least Mumble was catching stuff. Okay, well, I'm trying to be empowered. Now, I would say, you know, Mumble is taking on a lot of power to change everything at all costs. And that's the road Mumble went down. And Mumble kept searching and then eventually found people that say, oh, well, this diction coach is there and this diction coach is there. And Mumble started working with them, or Mumble would say, well, I got to figure out. Well, they said, this is my fee. Well, what can I do? I don't have your fee. We'll come back when you do. Or, oh, you could do this work for my fee. And Mumble was willing to do what it took to pay those fees or to, you know, barter for those fees. But each thing, you know, it was like these diction exercises or, oh boy, you know, what, I don't know, because I wasn't there. Like this part of the story, I wasn't there, but it was a lot of repetition and all that kind of stuff. And Mumble said, I don't know how to, but Mumble could start to realize that, well, maybe this is different. Like maybe that two faces thing is, I had something there in the mirror. And remember what Hum was trying to say? Now, it wasn't what Hum was trying to say. We know that, but Mumble didn't know that. And so Mumble said, okay, maybe I have to become two parts of Mumble, Mumble and not Mumble. And so Mumble would then go into these diction classes and try to, not pretend, but compartmentalize, I guess is the best way to describe it. And kind of forget about Mumble's or the feeling. Like, I guess Mumble wasn't in it. It said, okay, well, I got to create this new place and this new part of me that's going to be the communicator. Oh boy, am I going to communicate clear as the clearest day in the clearest sky, like a window without streaks. It's just been washed. Holy cow. Look out, birds, because there's a window here. Maybe I have to keep it clean to communicate, but maybe I could just tell you not that there's a window here, but it's so clear because of my communication. But what Mumble noticed was that, even that it was really exhausting, holding that up and all the work that went into it, it worked. But when Mumble started to get tired, or sometimes when Mumble's focus slipped, or Mumble was a little down or feeling lonely or hungry or upset, the mumbles would come through. And sometimes they came through when it wasn't the perfect time, right? Because Mumble had slowly started to build a reputation as a clear window speaker. And, you know, pa-da-poom, pa-da-ping, you know, to the highest bidder comes Mumbles, where it became an ironic name. Super silver speaker is going to be Mumbles. And people thought it was a joke almost, but not every time, right? Every once in a while, the Mumble would creep in, and maybe Mumble would cover it up. But, you know, Mumble would go back to the mirror after that and say, I can't believe that leaked out, those mumbles. And maybe no one, sometimes the only person would notice it was Mumbles. But Mumbles was still not satisfied. And so, Mumbles started to travel the world and say, and it was actually Hum that said, Hum and Mumbles hadn't been in touch because Hum said, like that a couple times, and Mumbles didn't like it, during this journey. That's, you know, when I look in the mirror, and so Mumbles had kind of said, you know what, Hum? You're the one that told me to look in the mirror. And, you know, strong, you know, they parted ways. Their journey had separated. But Mumbles was still on this quest to find, I got to find a solution here. I got to find, and I guess it was Hum that said, look outside, outside the box, maybe, but Mumbles, again, it deteriorated after that. Like, Hum was trying to say, but maybe don't do anything. Maybe, sounds tough. I guess I'm realizing that the pigeons are resting, but I'm not sure this humming and mumbling, how it'll play out. in the episode, but it'll be fine. I'm here to keep you company, right, and tell you this story about Mumbles. So Mumbles was searching the world, searching so hard because of the H-U-R-T inside. I said, I gotta get this hurt dealt with, right? Yeah, we can all recognize that. Maybe even be, we wish, this part of the story is where you wish you could be like an invisible hum saying, Mumbles, So we could just all hum if we need to, or do some sort of talking or imagining, just like we're humming to comfort Mumbles. But Mumbles wasn't in the comforting spot. Mumbles was in the active spot. And eventually Mumbles heard about this one teacher who said, I don't teach diction. I don't teach pronunciation. I don't teach mumbling. Like I teach more than that, but known, you know, to be the greatest communication teacher in the world, you know, not available. I don't take on new students, you know, but Mumbles would not I'll sit outside of this place, you know, for as long as it takes till I can communicate clearly. But there was something in the eye of that teacher, right, who said, okay. I see you. I see you're hurting. I see what you want. Maybe there's a way I can help. Finally, the teacher came out and said to Mumbles, like, you really want to learn to clearly communicate. You're going to have to kind of let go of what you think communication is. And Mumbles said, are you willing? And Mumbles said, I think so. And like a lot of other teachers that use confusing methods, this teacher was big on that. And the teacher gave Mumbles this giant ball of string, gigantic, it was a ball. Like a ball of yarn, but like that you would have to scoop your arms to carry it around. Now it was light. It was big, but it was light. And it had the string coming out. It was a ball of yarn. I don't know what it was made from, but, you know, it wasn't, like, as long as it was dry, don't get it wet. Then Mumbles had to take a break. But it had a string, you know, like where the, I don't know how you make a ball of yarn, but usually what it had about, so if you scoop, picture yourself, I guess, as Mumbles, you have this giant ball of string scooped in your arms. But dangling down right about just past your knee, if your arms are scooped in above your hips by about 6 inches, maybe just 6 inches below your knee would be the string from the yarn. And the teacher said, please don't drag that string around. And Mumbles said, okay. And then Mumbles said, what's next? And the teacher said, I want you to go north to Alaska. And Mumbles said, is that a metaphor or a truth? And the teacher shrugged and went back inside. And of course, you know, Mumbles went through this thing of like feeling stuck, right? First Mumbles said, yeah, like was still holding the string or the ball of yarn, but yelling at the door and calling for the teacher to come out, getting tired. Now, Mumbles also, did think about it and said, okay, the teacher didn't say I had to carry, it just said, don't drag the string around. But apparently, I had to carry the string wherever I go, this ball of yarn wherever I go without dragging the string around. So it's not like Mumbles had to carry it 24/7. But that was like, so that was like a part of the story that was like not even too dull for a sleep podcast, but it was a few days where Mumbles would carry the string at first and yell through the door, and the teacher would say, north to Alaska, please don't drag that string around. Please don't drag the string around, north to Alaska. And Mumbles was frustrated, but finally Mumbles gave in and said, okay, whatever that means, I'll head north to Alaska. And carry this, try not to, please don't drag the string around. and like Mumbles just started walking, of course, and, you know, went through a journey. And like a lot of great tales that are in this particular genre, there was it was walkable. It was a walkable world. And it had hills and it had valleys. It had forests and rivers, towns and streams and small cities, farmland, mountains, and just weather that was suitable for the clothes and the, you know, bag that Mumbles was carrying. And Mumbles would go into town, and now Mumbles also, like, if you're carrying a giant ball of string, you kind of eventually, you know, you can't put it down to rest, but if you're carrying it, you could kind of move it around, which Mumbles would do. Mumbles would put it on Mumbles' shoulder, or then it would shift to the other shoulder, and then it would do the scoop, or Mumbles would try to hold it under Mumbles' arm. But that was, like, dangerous because the string would get close to touching the ground. And Mumbles knew somehow in their mind that if that string touched the ground, that was it for the lesson that Mumbles was supposed to be learning from this great, wise teacher of communication. But so Mumbles would go to these towns carrying this ball of string. Now, the thing of the string was that it was so big that it was like depending on how you're holding it, it could obscure your vision. Now, Mumbles would eventually, like, if you were holding it in the most comfortable way, your hands would be against your abdomen, or at least this is Mumbles' opinion, and you'd have it scooped in your arms like you were carrying a bundle of hay, because you're basically, that's what you're doing. But then your vision would be obscured in your mouth and your nose and just the bottom part of your eyes. So you could kind of make eye contact with people, but then if you moved it around, you know, it was always awkward, I guess. And it would be awkward, and then people would ask about it, and but everybody had, most people had a knowing glance. They said, what are you carrying? Mumbles said, well, I got to get the, I'm carrying the string north to Alaska, this ball of yarn. And, yeah. But Mumbles didn't pick up on it right away, but it was like a lot of different, of course, if you see someone carrying, if you're a pleasant enough, curious person, and you see someone in a walkable world carrying a giant ball of string, if you have an opportunity, I mean, you might not cross, some of us might cross the street and say, hey, bub, what do you do? Where'd you get that giant ball of string? What are you doing with it? And, you know, children would say, can we play with it? Or, you know, kitty cats would follow Mumbles through town, and then people would follow the kitty cats, that whole thing. I mean, that's a whole nother thing. I mean, kind of dull, though. The cats would just jump at the string, but Mumbles would keep moving. And eventually Mumbles was putting off this vibe for the cats to be like, yeah, you could, you know, but just be careful. Or Mumbles would put it up somewhere and the cats would do, like, just where the cat could just hit it, and Mumbles would hold it against so it wouldn't roll off. Nothing would touch the ground. And also, whatever the yarn was made from, it would never get caught in the cat's claw. So it was adjustable. Again, Mumbles was continuing to adjust carrying the string and having a lot of conversations about it. And eventually what happened was Mumbles got, unexpectedly, Mumbles got to a town called Alaska, a really small town. No idea, because Mumbles was just following the road north, signs north. And it was before, you know, Mumbles said, how am I even going to get to Alaska? And then, you know, people would say, oh, I'm going to Alaska. They say, don't worry, you'll get there fine. And Mumbles said, okay, maybe I will get there fine. It seems really, really, really far away. When I do look on the map, it's like thousands of miles. Luckily, it just happens to be the right time of year to go that direction. I don't know if I'll ever get there. Mumbles ends up in a town named Alaska. Doesn't even know it till Mumbles sees the sign. coming into town. Small town, not on any map, known or unknown at this time. And Mumbles rolls into town and says, holy cow, what am I supposed to do now? And just like people said, and some people would say, hey, come on, do this. Also, Mumbles would, eventually Mumbles started, the people with cats, like, would pay Mumbles. Or Mumbles would do, you know, Mumbles figured out a way to pay the bills without the string ever touching the ground. And eventually, like, Mumbles said, hey, I was supposed to come here, actually. Like, and they said, the great communicator told me to take this ball of string and head north to Alaska. And they said, well, you're in Alaska. You're in the right place. And a lot of people would pat Mumbles on the back. And Mumbles never knew why. And eventually, like, Mumbles found some people, you know, because Mumbles started to get down. It said, well, I can't leave Alaska. Am I just supposed to go, like, Mumbles felt stuck. Should I go back? Should I go north to the state of Alaska? Am I in the wrong place? He kept asking, well, I don't know if I'm supposed to be here. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And, like, eventually this one woman, Mumbles, was sitting there, and she said, okay, tell me everything, like, slowly, you know, over time. And Mumbles told her, and she said, told her about the stuff with her, like, she said, okay, tell me about your friend Hum. Hum sounds great. And eventually Mumbles developed trust to like, where he kind of let it all spill out, the mumbling, the compartmentalizing, and the mirror. Now, the mirror was the last piece. She actually had to pull at a different kind of string, you know, to be like, because Mumbles had almost forgotten about it. Now that Mumbles, and plus Mumbles had kind of fallen into this other version of Mumbles' self, like going around town, not doing that much communicating when Mumbles was alone. But then in town, you know, I guess something about it, like Mumbles said, maybe it worked that just by carrying the string and focusing on carrying the string, I'm able to communicate clearly. And the woman, she wasn't ready to get, she goes, I don't know, tell me more, keep telling me more. Okay, tell me what happened, you know, let's back up, let's go back to that. And then that stuff with a mirror came out, and she said, oh, mirror. And she said, have you been up to the waterfall that overlooks the town? And Mumble said, no, because I don't want to get this ball of string wet. And she said, don't worry, like, she goes, it's like, you know, the summertime, so the flow is really low. And she goes, we got this big art installation up there. It's been up there for, you know, long, 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 long time. I think you should go up there and look at it. And she goes, remember, like, not everything means what we think it means, right? Maybe it means something else, or maybe it means two or three things at once. And Mumbles said, okay. And the mouse said, okay. So Mumbles went up the hill carrying the string to the waterfall outside of the town of Alaska and started to see the shine. Like, you know, said, wow, it's a shiny waterfall. There's a little stream, very picturesque. At this point, Mumbles was in really good shape from carrying this ball of string. And eventually, like, Mumbles realized that just past the waterfall was where the shine was coming from. It was a giant mirror. And the mirror was like to the right of the waterfall, but on this thing that was like facing. So if you're standing in front of the mirror, looking into the mirror, behind you was like to the left would be just the part of the waterfall. And then this vista of an entire valley, the town of Alaska. And in a clear day, like they say, you could almost see forever in this mirror. I mean, you could turn around and do it too. But that, and then in the top of the mirror, carved in wood, it said, all for myself. And You could also sit on a bench and look up in the mirror. And at first, Mumbles kind of got a joke, like, oh, if you come up here and you say, all this is for me, all this beauty, all for myself, I got it all to myself. This is what life really is. But then something else creeped up, and Mumbles didn't even realize it at the time. But Mumbles started to relax in a way they never had before. And their arms went down a little bit, and the string thing, and something at the same time Mumbles started to relax, this thing creeped in, like, all for myself. All for myself, and thought about Hum, and just thought about everything came together slowly. And the string hit the ground, right? We'll just point that part out. Mumble said, I've been doing this all for myself, but not myself. Like, for that self. Like, you know what I mean? Mumble realized that this whole journey about communication had been for myself, but not myself at the same time. And then somebody else was hiking, and they were hiking behind Mumbles, and they saw Mumbles just staring in the mirror, and they said, you must have been a beautiful baby, and then they just kept going. And this was, if that was a musical, it'd be numbers in a musical, right? Like, Carole King would probably be, like, figuring it out, but Mumbles said, I think I was a beautiful baby, and thought about, oh, every baby's beautiful, to its mother, you know, hardy har har. I don't know, something shifted again in Mumbles, and Mumbles started mumbling and saying, huh, remember when I was in thinking about Hum and how Hum was always kind of just there humming away most of the time. Most of the time, Hum never communicated anything other than that hum. And what did the hum do when Mumbles needed it? But it soothed Mumbles. It gave Mumbles something. And, you know, if it was a musical, Mumbles would have sang a song in mumbling at this point, like, why am I so shy? Because Mumbles had that moment of, in this case, because it's a parable, a stark moment of self-realization and acceptance that only a story like this can, and Mumble started to mumble and mumble and mumble some more and started to feel better. It was like a half heaven, half heartache, at the same time. And Mumbles, like, totally let the ball string roll on the ground and fall out of their arms, and headed out, let the string roll, and went in search of Hum. And it took a while, but Mumbles suddenly realized, I think I have some sort of purpose, and it's to accept my mumbling. Maybe my mumbling isn't a problem. It's my communicating that's the problem. Like, and then Mumble started to make these connections, like all of the blocking of the string and the inner, you know, the nonverbal communication and all the listening people did on the journey to Mumbles. And again, all of that hum, and something beyond self-actualization happened. I don't know if that's the right word, where it was like the question that Mumbles was really asking and that really Hum was asking, when will I be loved? And Mumbles said, that's what you're asking me in the mirror, not why can't I communicate? When will I be loved by me, by Mumbles? It's not about the mumbling at all. It's about that feeling, oh, when will I be loved? That's what Hum was trying to tell me. And eventually they reconnected and they would work together, like, in spreading the word of, nonverbal soothing communication. That didn't, unfortunately, this is an untold tale. Never caught on. I don't understand it. They tried the Mumble and Hum method. That was a book they published, and then more mumbling and humming that they self-published. The title's got longer and longer, like yet another dose of wisdom from Mumble and Hum. More mumbles, more how to hum. So that part didn't work out. But what did work out was they stayed dedicated. They knew their purpose then. Oh, I'm here to mumble. And it's not about my mumbling. Everybody, people mumble. Some people don't. But I can mumble with a purpose. And just like Hum did. And then what they said, well, it's because it's not working out, maybe our world's just not ready for it. That was when the power, the cosmic power of those twirling tresses of Carole King came in. And deactualized, I guess. Said, let's just let you loose in the universe. Mumbling, numbing you off. And saying, hey, it goes in, it's okay. We're here to help, but if you need to, you could always hum or talk like this, pat your own back, or just do what it really does feel good, and just let it go, and let it go. It's going to be okay. I'm here to help. I see you. And when will you be loved? It's just letting that love in a little bit, maybe. But just remember, I was telling the story pigeons. I realized they'd flown off. But it was fine because I was telling it to the horsey I was on in a little tiny carousel, a red horse with blue eyes. And I think that horse got the story by way of Carole King. So thank you, everybody, and let me hum, tuck, mumble you in and say goodnight. All right, I want to thank everybody that reviewed the podcast recently over on Apple Podcasts. Let's see. Some people, you know, they prefer ad-free show. You could get that on Patreon for sure, or other places. But yeah, the ads are what enabled the show to come out twice a week for free. Want to thank Pep, who said, best boy, you make my night better. That's from Canada. Said, you know, I'm a sophomore in high school. I got 3 honors classes, and it's not easy. And that makes it hard to sleep. Thanks to this podcast, I've been able to get to sleep. And then KBZ says, I've been listening since 2014. I usually fall asleep in 5 minutes. Thank you so much. Cool Leah says, A+, works well. I'll be out of sleep in about 10 minutes. So one time I had a dream I was picking up a mermaid tail for Scooter and Sims. Thanks so much. And Anxiety No More says, great for anxious mind. I discovered this podcast when I was Googling how to quiet down my thoughts. I was dealing with a lot, and I'm going to become a patron because the relief I get is invaluable. So thank you so much. Thanks, everybody, for reviewing the show, supporting the show on Patreon, supporting our sponsors. That's how we're able to be here for you for free twice a week on every podcast platform. And, we also have like over 400 episodes ready to go in the archives. You could help the show grow, join our referral program and get rewarded for referring people to podcasts, or just spread the word about podcasting in general. Don't even talk about Sleep With Me. Just show people, hey, this is the app I use. Let me show you on my phone. Let them kind of discover it on their own, but guide them or be there as a resource when they need help and say, oh, I could show you that. No problem. Just tell them what podcast app you used. Maybe tell them a couple of podcasts you listen to. Slow sell, because believe me, I've tried with my parents the more direct approach. So do it a soft sell. And here's a couple of these Tuck You In sponsors that like we've been able to expand to, to those 400 more plus episodes in the free feed. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, this is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just hitting about to hit my 4-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Lux. And I took that Helix quiz. You know, I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress it matched me with. The Helix Dusk, I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. Because Helix has like 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Lux collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs that extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix sleep quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back. And they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15-year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine is a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word. This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.